The lesson this afternoon is a continuation and completion of the one that we commenced to begin to start this morning. Based on the statement of Ananias to Saul, and he said, "And now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Recorded in Acts 22 and verse 16. What we've been doing in this study is calling attention to some things that ought to move and motivate a person to rise and be baptized. We pick up this afternoon where we launched from this morning, that text, and point number six, baptized, to walk in newness of life, among other reasons. In our reading, the good reading from Romans 6:4, you might have noticed where Paul said, "We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk where? In newness of life." Some translations, instead of newness of life, have new sphere of life. Did you notice when the new life begins? Is it before or after baptism? You see, baptism stands between an individual and the new life. It separates the old life of sin from the new life of righteousness. Why be in an old life when you can have a new life? What a blessing that God offers us new life today. You can have a new sphere, new realm of life, the righteous life. And it's baptism that's put between the old life and the new. I'll tell you another reason, though, a person should want to rise and be baptized. And that is to be made free from sin. Dropping down to Romans 6 to verses 17 and 18, Paul said, "But God be thanked." Why? "That you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Just when were the Romans made free from sin? When they obeyed. What did they obey? That form of doctrine. How did they do that? From the heart. That form of doctrine goes back to verses 3 and 4. He draws a likeness between Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. The crucifixion of the old man, his burial, and being risen with him. One of the facts of the gospel, as reported in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, is the fact that Christ died for our sins. The fact that he was buried in verse 4 and that he rose. And just as Christ died, we crucify the old man. Romans 6:6 says, "Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." As Christ was buried, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Romans 6:4. And as Christ rose the third day, 1 Corinthians 15:4, we are risen with him. Paul said in Romans 6:4 and 5, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 12, he talked about buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So why arise and be baptized? That you might be made free from sin. Now, some people think that the new life begins at the point of faith, before and without baptism. That's when you are risen with him. And then later on, they'll baptize a person. Have you thought about what they're doing? When they have a person alive spiritually at the point of faith, before baptism, and then later they'll baptize him, they're burying a living person. We don't do that. You ever go to the cemetery and they bury somebody alive? Doesn't happen. At least I hope not. Is that the order of 1 Corinthians 15? Is it that Christ died, then he arose, and then he is buried? That's the picture of denominationalism. Crucified, the old man, risen with him, and then they'll bury him. You see how that's out of order with what the Bible teaches? Christ died, was buried, risen with him. We crucify the old man, buried with him by baptism, risen with him, rising to walk in newness of life. It's that simple, isn't it? And that's why should one person arise and be baptized. But also, an individual should want to arise and be baptized in order to belong to Christ. I'm calling us now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, where Paul said, "This I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ." The question that he asked needs to be answered today among religious people when he said, "Is Christ divided?" You'd think Christ was divided because of all the division that exists. And then these questions: was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Instead of "I am," some translations have "I belong to." So we had a group of people said, "I belong to Paul." Well, what would have been necessary for them to rightfully say they were of Paul, that they belonged to Paul? Two things. Paul must have been crucified for them, and they had to be baptized in his name. If not, then they had no right to say that they belonged to Paul. And that was true of Apollos and Cephas. And thus it is of Christ. If a person is of Christ, if an individual belongs to Christ, two things are essential. Christ must have been crucified for that person, and they must have been baptized in the name of Christ. Now, was the Lord crucified for you? Absolutely. The book affirms that time and again. But just because he was crucified for you, it doesn't mean you belong to him. You can't say, "I belong to Christ," or "I have Christ," just because Christ died for you. Have you been baptized in the name of Christ? And while there may be a good number of people who claim to belong to Christ because Christ died for them, if they've not been baptized in his name, then they really don't belong to him. How about you? Have you been baptized in the name of Christ? You should want to rise and be baptized so that you can belong to Christ. But also, arise and be baptized that you might enter into the one body. The Bible teaches that there is but one body. Paul said that in Ephesians 4:4. There is one body, O-N-E, which is identified as the church. He spoke of the church, which is his body, in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and in his letter to the Colossians, he talked about his body, which is the church. So you have it both ways. If the church is the body, body is the church, one body, one church. And that's where the called are. The Bible often talks about those who are called. Those who are called of God. Called how? By the gospel. Called to be saints. Called out of darkness into light. You know where they are? Colossians 3:15 says, called in one body. They're in the church. So that's why you need to be a member of the church, that you might be among the called. But also, it's the realm of those who have been reconciled. Ephesians 2:16 says, and that he might reconcile both unto God, where? In one body. God doesn't have separate bodies. One for the Jews, one for the Gentiles, one for the rich, one for the poor, one for the red man, one for the white man. One body, the church, where we are all reconciled unto God, brought back together with him in peace and harmony. And it's the sphere of the saved. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 23, Paul said, Christ is the Savior of the body. However many bodies there are, that's how many Saviors there are. And you think, based upon all the different religious bodies, there must be a whole slew of different Saviors. But the Bible only reveals one. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. And you know whose name that is? Christ. He's the head of the body and the Savior. Ephesians 5:23. And so to be saved outside the body, you'd have to be your own Savior. And there's no one who has the power to save himself by himself alone. Since the body of Christ, the church of the Lord, is the circle of the called, the realm of the reconciled, and the sphere of the saved, how do I get into it? The Bible answers that in 1 Corinthians 12:13. Paul said, for by one Spirit are you all what? Baptized into one body. Anybody collect on the $20 today? Had anybody come forward with a passage that talks about entering into Christ through some other means than baptism? And likewise, I'd offer that challenge to be a member of the body of Christ. How you enter the Lord's body? By some means other than by being baptized into it. Let me suggest to you that Like in Acts 2:41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. The Lord added them to the church. Verse 47. The Lord adds you when you're baptized into one body. Why be baptized? That you might enter into one body. And then finally, as we stress upon our minds today that to obtain salvation, the remission of sins, one must be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. Why rise and be baptized? To put off the body of the sins of the flesh. Come with me for just a moment to Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Paul says, in whom? You know who that refers to? Back to Christ Jesus, verse 6. In whom, Christ Jesus, also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's Colossians 2:11 through 13. Here he talks about the circumcision of Christ. It's a circumcision made without hands. You're familiar with fleshly circumcision, circumcision made with hands, as recorded in the Old Testament. This has to do with cutting loose of the sins of the flesh, or putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. Where is that accomplished? In baptism. Notice in verse 12 the word wherein. You might highlight that. We might ask, wherein does the circumcision made without hands occur? Wherein does one put off the body of the sins of the flesh? Wherein? Verse 12 answers that. In baptism. Buried with him in baptism. That's wherein, you see. There's an operation that takes place in baptism. You see, the person being baptized is the patient, if you will. And when we're baptized, when we're buried with him in baptism, God takes his divine scalpel, if you will, and cuts loose the sins of the flesh. And that cutting loose of the sins of the flesh, that putting off the body of sins of the flesh, is called a circumcision. Circumcision of Christ. Circumcision made without hands. And is equivalent to forgiving you all trespasses. Notice he said in verse 13, before baptism, dead in sins. After baptism, quickened. That is to be restored to life. Having forgiven you all trespasses. And so have you been baptized? If not, you have yet to put off the body of the sins of the flesh. You need to be circumcised spiritually through the operation of God. 10 reasons as to why I want you to rise and be baptized that we've explored in this study. Don't forget the fact that all of the passages in the New Testament where baptism and salvation are mentioned together, baptism always comes before salvation. Salvation is always placed after baptism in the divine order of things. There's no exception to that. One should arise and be baptized to be saved for the remission of sins, to do what must be done so as to call upon the name of the Lord, have one's sins washed away, to enter into Christ's death, to walk in newness of life, as we saw together this morning and this afternoon, to be made free from sin, to belong to Christ into one body, and to put off the sins of the flesh. I want to explore a little idea with you from the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, the great chapter of faith, with reference to the sea-crossing people. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29 says of Israel, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. How'd they pass through the Red Sea? By faith. Did you know that Red Sea passing is called a baptism? It is in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 and 2. Paul said they were baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. When they by faith passed through the Red Sea, they were baptized. You know when they were saved? Come back to the story in Exodus chapter 14. That's where you read about the Red Sea passing. The baptism unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Exodus 14, 29 and 30. The children of Israel walked upon the dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel in. What's the text say? That day. It wasn't the day before. It wasn't 3 days before. It wasn't a week before. But He saved Israel that day. What day? The day that they by faith passed through the Red Sea. The day that they were baptized. The Lord saved Israel that day. And today can be the day that the Lord saves you. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says. You know when folks were baptized in the first century? That day. That day they heard the truth. That day they believed. That day that they saw the need to put on the Lord in baptism. Like Acts 2 and verses 40 and 41. When the Lord added to the church, folks were baptized. Remember, the same day. Same day. Remember the jailer in Acts chapter 16 when he was baptized? When was that? The same hour of the night, Acts 16:33. You know what hour that was? Verse 25 says midnight. Midnight. Why be baptized at midnight, the same hour, the same day? You may not have another day. You may not even have another hour. Right? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And so today can be the day that God saves you. If you have the faith that those people had, when they by faith passed through the Red Sea, would you allow your faith to cause you to pass through the waters of baptism? As Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. There are 10 good reasons. Not a single reason to put it off another moment. If we can assist you in the exercising of your faith, would you be a willing patient today, subject to allow the Lord to take His scalpel and cut away those sins of the flesh, to remember them no more? We're happy to assist you if you'll make your way to the front while we stand and sing the song.